This is Kate Magruder with Promise of Paradise, Back to the Land, Oral Histories of Mendocino County. Today we'll be hearing from Lori Rosenberg of Ukiah. Born in Baltimore in 1955, Lori spent most of her childhood in Manhattan, feeling like she never belonged. She came to California when she was 19 and quickly made her way to Greenfield Ranch, where she discovered her deep affinity for growing things and a community that felt like home. In 1985, Lori was hired as a cashier at the Ukiah Natural Foods Co-op, and she's been there ever since, cycling through a range of leadership positions before finally settling into her role as general manager. During her decades at the co-op, Lori has helped guide the business through challenges and changes, including a current expansion, all the while reveling in the opportunity to witness new generations develop an appreciation for wholesome, healthy foods.
My parents always used to tell me that I loved to play in the dirt. We had a big house when we lived in Maryland, but we moved to New York and we lived in apartment buildings. So my outdoor experience changed for me living in a confined space. Finally, when I was 18 years old, I had enough of city life. I just really felt drawn to having another experience. And my sister, who's 5.5 years older, she had gone cross country and came out to San Diego, California, and she invited me to come out. She said, "You wouldn't believe there's blue skies out here and all kinds of beauty. You have to come out." I left when I was 19 years old and I moved to San Diego. I met my first partner in San Diego, and we talked about the whole revolution that was going on. Just the whole generation and the movement that was happening at that time was Woodstock. It was Back to the Land. It was eating your food in a different way and diets. And I was very, really interested in that. I always felt like a misfit when I lived in New York. I just felt like I never belonged to anything. I think that we all read many editions of Mother Earth News and reading all the experiences of all the people that succeeded in the Back to the Land movement, and I was really intrigued by that. My partner at the time, Don, had friends that lived on Greenfield, and we came up to look at the land and decided to buy a 50-acre parcel on Greenfield. He moved up first, and then I followed him after, and I believe that was 1973.
And what did you encounter when you first came?
Well, the beauty of the ranch was just amazing, especially for me, not ever having that experience living in the wild. It was kind of like the wild for me, really. And we decided that we were going to build a house, but we didn't start out with that. So we actually lived in a tent, a red tent, for almost a year and a half. Through the winter time, when it used to rain up here, like 60 inches of rain, we had a little wood stove in our tent, and we started building about a year after. So we went through all the seasons in that tent, and we had a lot of laughs about that because we thought if we survived living in this teeny thing together with a dog, we could do anything in life. And we had a lot of fun because we used to go down to the ranch house a lot and hang out and play cards and Chinese checkers and play music and all kinds of crazy stuff just to get out of that red tent because it got intense after a while being in there. And it was a lot of fun because it was such a different lifestyle than I ever imagined I would ever experience. I'm glad I was young when I did that.
What were you thinking you were going to do when you were headed to Greenfield Ranch?
That's a really good question because I had no idea. I mean, I immediately got into starting a garden and, you know, we got our water thing together. And I just had this affinity with gardening and getting my hands in the soil. And I ended up successfully having almost a quarter acre of flowers and vegetables and herbs and did really well. And I ended up doing the farmer's market in Ukiah, the original farmer's market, and sold vegetables and flowers. And my cash crop was my garlic. I raised great garlic. I used to do a lot of the fairs. I made garlic braids. So I really got into very small production farming and I had a blast. And we had no machines or anything. It was all done by hand. We double dug all the beds, and I hauled more horse poop that I never imagined in my life, and really got into that. And my partner at the time, Don, started working on building us a house to live in.
Did you use recycled material? How did you build that house?
Don and I and four other people tore down chicken coops in Petaluma. We spent probably a month tearing down these horrific chicken poop-laden coops. That was the most beautiful redwood out of those buildings. And we scraped and cleaned and hauled all that recycled wood up to the ranch and used a lot of it. Of course, it took a lot to repurpose it all to make it clean. Don's father had a lot of experience with building because he was a building inspector. So he came up and spent a summer with us and helped design and get the infrastructure together for this house.
Did children come along?
I had my first child 4 years later. So Chia was born when I was, let's see, I think I was 24. I have to remember the 24. We were all having home births in the woods, and some people ended up having to go into town to the hospitals, and the hospital was not fond of people coming to the hospital that were having that need of their services. So we were kind of the rebels in the woods. And personally, I had a home birth. I had two home births in my life. And I had the opportunity to be at other women's births on the ranch too, which is just the most amazing thing that I've ever experienced, of supporting other women and families through that whole birthing process. So our families were expanding. There were so many kids on the ranch, and a school developed on the ranch too. And I think by the extension of our families, even brought more people together in a bigger way of our community.
You're listening to Lori Rosenberg of Ukiah. I'm Kate Magruder, and this is Promise of Paradise, Back to the Land, Oral Histories of Mendocino County. We were talking a little bit about the mind-expanding experiences and the substances that we would take. Was there an episode with something like that that was especially remarkable for you?
Yeah, we had a lot of those experiences. My most memorable one is we had a women's gathering, and there was probably maybe 20 of us, and we hiked up to somebody's property on a very high hill, and we were indulging and had a really fun time. We were singing. I taught all these women how to whistle. I think living in New York and whistling for cabs, I'm a really good whistler. I think half the people hyperventilated because they were trying to whistle. And we just told stories, and I never had an experience like that of being together with women in such a relaxed, free atmosphere of just being who you are in life and just sharing. And through those experiences, we just got closer and tighter with one another. There was just no hiding behind anything. You were who you were, and you were accepted and loved. And so those were the most memorable times, were the women's groups. You know, we do hot tubs and together too. We had a quilting group. There was a bunch of us that were into quilting, and I have a great old picture of probably 10 of us at the ranch house quilting. So one thing kind of led into another of, well, what can we do next, and what else can we explore? We all just got really turned on to living on the land and just being there and not meandering out so much. Of course, we all came into town to buy things that we couldn't grow or have or do laundry. But it was really a tight community. And in the summer times, especially, there was the big pond that got dammed up, and everybody would come in the summer because it was so hot. And we'd spend a lot of time playing in the water with, you know, our friends and family, sharing food, telling stories, hanging out. Those were fun days. And I was thrilled to be able to have that experience of living in nature. And exploring what that would be for me. I had no idea, no idea. And it was just a really amazing growth opportunity for me in mind, body, spirit, and really learning the physicality of my strength. You know, I'm a petite person in life, and, you know, building a house and digging our garden by hand and succeeding in these things that I never in my lifetime ever dreamed that I would be able to accomplish.
Did your parents ever come out to the ranch?
My parents came out to the ranch when Chia was born. I will never forget this. I went into town and I picked my parents up and I drove them up to our house, and my mother had the death grip in my car. She's never ever experienced a one-lane dirt road, and she was horrified. We finally got up to my house and we got out of the car, and I don't remember if it was my mother or my father said, "And this is where you live?" And here I'm thinking, this is paradise for me. It's our house was done, and they were city folks that never experienced anything like this before. They stayed for some hours and we had lunch. We had a really fun time, and I drove them back down the hill, and they didn't come back up after that. The next visits, we stayed in town. It was really a funny thing. They just a very different lifestyle that they lived their lives. Unlike my partner's parents, who grew up on a farm and had that experience, they didn't have any problem coming up and spending time.
When you first came and you would come into Ukiah to do your shopping or laundry or whatever you had to do, how were you received?
I think that in the time of the early 70s, when I started getting into truck farming, that was a great transition of bridging that gap of the good old boys and the hippies in the hills. And I made some really great, wonderful relationships with the old-time farmers from Potter Valley and Redwood Valley at the farmers market, and we became quite friendly. They would actually hire me to come to their house and braid their garlic because I was really good at that, and we just shared stories, and they really got to hear and see who we were as people and not being these odd hippies coming down from the hills. We had a lot of fun together, and I have so many fond memories of their stories, which built upon the Butler Cherry Ranch, which we all went up to George and Ella's home, not only to pick cherries, but we used to help them plant their trees up there, and Ella would make this amazing spread of food for us to eat at the table with them, and they had amazing stories of their time moving to Mendocino County, living their lives here in the day and way in the days. So there was this great exchange and mixture of counterculture people and farmers, old-time farmers, and people just really started embracing one another in a way that I never thought really would happen. And I was so happy that we were able to bridge that gap, that we could go to community events together, and there was a mixture of people. It wasn't just the hippies in the hills, but it was everybody coming. And I think that just reflecting back on those times of the farmers and the counterculture people joining together was a big change in the community.
So glad you brought up George and Ella Butler, because they were instrumental and unusual, and they taught us how to be with new people who were coming. They were so generous.
They were so generous. I have this fond memory. I was pregnant with them, my first daughter. I think I was 7 or 8 months pregnant, and I had decided I was going to go up and see Ella and George. And I went up there during the day, and Ella said, "Oh, well, let's go pick mulberries off." They have this amazing huge mulberry tree at the time. And we go up there, and they had a golf cart is how they got around. And she had to go run back down to the house, and so she gave me a bucket, and she assumed that I would pick mulberries from the lower branches of the tree. And I climbed up part way up the ladder, and I was picking mulberries, and she just came back up at that time, and the ladder falls over, and I fall to the ground. I thought she was going to have a heart attack because I was pregnant, and I was fine. And she, "I'm going to take you down to the house. You have to lay down." I said, "No, I'm really fine." And we laughed. We sat under the mulberry tree. I said, "I'm fine. Don't worry. I'm fine." And we sat and ate mulberries. And it took her a lot longer to calm down from that than it took me. I can't think of one word to describe George and Ella Butler, but they were the most open, loving, giving people that I had ever crossed paths with. They were so free about themselves and so open to everything. It was amazing. And they were kind of like our back to the land gurus in some way, because they moved up there. They had all kinds of experiences up building their cherry ranch, but they also took in kids, and they were just the most open people that I've ever crossed paths with. And I'm so glad that I had some time in my life that I got to have a relationship with them, because I really learned a lot from them, not only what they did, but just who they were in life, how open and warm and caring two people could possibly be.
If you're just tuning in, this is Promise of Paradise, Back to the Land Oral Histories of Mendocino County. We're listening to an interview with Lori Rosenberg of Ukiah. How did your transition come that you started to spend more time in Ukiah?
Well, I lived up on the ranch for 7 years, and our relationship started falling apart, and I moved into town. I needed to get a job, you know, raising a child and living on my own and didn't have any resources. And being in the shock of living in Ukiah, it was a big transition for me. So I had met Yumi Joy, who also lived on Greenfield at the time, and she already had moved to town, and she was working at the co-op. She told me there was an opening at the co-op, and she said, "You would love working there. It's such a cool place." Food's always been my passion. So I thought, all right, I'm going to give that a try. I really need a job, and I want to do something that I have some kind of affinity with. And I applied. I was interviewed by John Beatty, who was the general manager then. I got hired as a cashier. I did that for a while. I was the produce manager for a while. I was a merchandising manager for a while. And then I was part of the management team. I think it was 1985 I started. And I've been here ever since. It's been 34 years that I've worked here.
Can you tell me a little bit about the history of the co-op? What's its origin story?
So when I moved up here in 1973, there was a beginnings of a buying club that was happening in town. And so much of it was not oriented towards food per se. People were buying fencing and canning supplies and fruit trees, bags of rice and beans. And the idea after some years was, wow, there's such a need for wholesome food here. And at that time, I think there was one or two grocery stores. I think Safeway was the main grocery store in Ukiah at the time. And a group of people thought, I think it was Barbara and Darshan McGinnis, and Dehinda was part of that. And the idea of some kind of a retail store for people in the community to be able to buy more natural, wholesome food before organic foods became such a big thing. So they pursued that, got a bunch of people who volunteered being a board of directors. They found a location, ironically, down the street from where we are currently on Gobi Street, an old funky garage, dirt floor garage. And that was the first retail store of the co-op. But when the co-op incorporated in 1976, it was called the Homestead Exchange. And I can't remember what year it was that the name changed to Ukiah Natural Foods Co-op, because people in our community did not understand what the Homestead Exchange was all about. People got quite confused about that. So the first Gobi Street location was viable for some years, and It was mostly bulk nut butters and bulk grains and rice and legumes and tofu and cheese. And the community really supported this venture. People joined the co-op and things were going quite well. And second location was accessed on Perkins Street, which is the current location of Walgreens by the railroad tracks. So it was the co-op there and Real Goods was in the same property. And the business just grew. We were able to expand into fresh produce and frozen foods and dairy. The bulk food section was the premier offerings from the beginning of the co-op in time. The organic food movement really blossomed during that time. And I think back to the years of when, you know, we'd get produce deliveries and we'd be so excited because this is great organic food. And it was just, the quality was very different to what it is now. And although we sold all of it because people were really supporting the organic food movement and people were learning about where your food comes from and all of the commercialism of food and how things were processed to what we were able to access and sell in the community. So we were supported by the alternative community in Mendocino County, but yet things really expanded where all kinds of community members were coming into the co-op, joining the co-op, becoming members, loving the food. We just blossomed and we got this opportunity to buy the building that we're in now and move to a new location to be able to expand and really be a retail store that had everything, all the services that we could offer. So we bought this building and moved in after probably 6 months of renovations. And we were so happy when we opened the doors here because people were amazed and also shocked from the people who supported the old co-op on Perkins. That was a very funky location. And when we moved here, a lot of comments were, oh my gosh, the co-op's getting yuppified. This is like Marin County store. But our business grew crazy. We were experiencing 25 and 28% sales growth year after year after year until the recession happened in 2007.
And are you expanding the co-op now? Are you looking at a new branch of expansion?
So we're blowing out the north wall, which is the wall facing Safeway. And we will be going out to the end of our property line that's right by the Gobi Street curb. So the two-story addition will be food service and then offices on the top. The expansion project will enable us to be able to make all of our food in-house. So we'll have hot food, we'll have service bars for different items and grab-and-go food, and also expand our cold services. So we're really excited. It's the first time in our co-op history that we're gonna have a real proper kitchen. There's so much excitement around this project because it seems that there's such a need now for people wanting to take home food that's half prepared or fully prepared. Unlike in the days of the 70s when we cooked everything from scratch, times have changed. I think the most exciting part for me is that we're going to have a proper area where people could sit and dine and eat, and it's going to be lovely. We're working with some really great, talented people and helping us design and making it a comfortable space for people to come with their families and be able to come and eat at the co-op or take it home.
You had mentioned to me that it had never occurred to you at the outset when you got hired as a cashier that this was going to be what you've done with your adult life. What have you discovered about yourself in working here?
Well, what I love about what I do at the co-op is really the community and the people. I have so many stories and know so many people, all the people that I've met working here as many years as I have, seeing their children grow up and those children having children, just the whole generation of people coming and going through the co-op over the years. And I think that a lot of people feel that the co-op is a core component of Ukiah. It's always been here from the day in the 70s. We're really looked upon more as a community store than a grocery store. I've have built so many work relationships and acquaintances of people that, you know, I wouldn't maybe not have had the opportunity to meet. And to me, it's a gift. And I really value that. And what we do in the community, I'm very proud of. We all work really hard here to be able to bring the great food that we offer and be part of something that is different, because the cooperative structure is very different than your traditional grocery stores. So we are community owned and operated, and I'm really proud of that. It's just something that myself and many of the people that work for us really work towards keeping that movement going forward, because there's so much competition now with online shopping, big box stores moving to our community. Things have changed in our community a lot, and people shop everywhere. And I think what we have true to our core values and mission here is the community. As I said, so many stories, many funny, crazy things that have happened here in my time working here. I've probably lent so many people money over the years who forgot to bring their money or left it in the car, and I've always gotten paid back, always. I've taken people home who got ill in the store. I've helped people shop, people who had some health issues in our store that are very frightening. I mean, so many things, people fainting on the reverse side, people who have bad habits in life of stealing from us and working through those issues too. So it's been a ride. All the years of the things that I've personally had to deal with, it's made me very strong in life. I feel like Superwoman sometimes, of like, I could deal with that. That's no problem. I'm not intimidated by a lot of things because of all the things that I've had to deal with on the community side, and also being an employer of 90 plus people who work for us. Yeah.
Anything else you want to add when you think about this amazing ride that you've had over the last 40 some years?
Well, I would just say that I want to thank you for the opportunity, for letting us go back in time and just sharing all these stories that we all have. And all those stories is what ties us all together in the community that we still live in. And there is the core group of people that still live here, and in different time now than where we were 40 plus years ago. I just feel so connected with people at a very deep level than I think that I would have ever experienced living in any other area in my life. It's that core community that holds us together here. It's a special place.
We've been listening to Promise of Paradise, Back to the Land, Oral Histories of Mendocino County. I'm Kate Magruder. We just heard from Lori Rosenberg of Ukiah. If you'd like to check out our interview archive with photos and more, just type Promise of Paradise, KZYX, into your search engine. Promise of Paradise is supported by the National Endowment for the Humanities, California Humanities, the Arts Council of Mendocino County, the Judy Pruden Historical Preservation Fund of the Community Foundation of Mendocino County, Story Center, the Mendocino Institute, and Grace Hudson Museum.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.